Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin, New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Tuka from Michigan, and I hope everyone is doing well. And we are the defenders of democracy, and we're ready to go.
Yes, thank you for joining us and sharing across all social media. We're glad that you're here, and no matter who you are, you're never bigger than the U.S. Constitution. Donald Trump is learning this at the moment and learning the hard way, and we're all here for it. The Republican Party continues to defend Trump, even though he has been indicted for the second time. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who just announced his candidacy for President of the United States and Republican nomination for 2024, is the only declared candidate who has thrown Trump under the bus since announcing. The cult of Trump has taken over the GOP, and it seems like there is no end in sight. While America thrives under President Joe Biden's leadership, the GOP continues to burn down from within. Even if Trump wins the nomination in 2024, can he still win the presidency? It's a case of winning the battle but losing the war, as Trump faces accusations of espionage, lying, obstruction of justice, and many more things. Jack Smith has the receipts, and this is just the beginning of the end for the loser Donald Trump. He has Letitia James, Albert Bragg, E. Jean Carroll, and Fannie Willis to contend with. Will Trump do the right thing and drop out, or will he keep being defiant to the very end? Joe Biden and Democrats have stated their case to the American people. Republicans have not. They've shown that their true colors and don't really care about America. When will their collective madness end? Call us. Tell us what you think. 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Turn off all background noises, as it's distracting for everyone. And please, please, no shouting over the horse. If you fail to comply, then you'll be hung up on. Visit our website at kitchenpolitics123.com. And again, thank you for sharing across all social media. This is the Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show with me, David Franklin, and Laura Picker. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So, on the get-go, before we'll move into tonight's topic, came out recently, it first came out in 2013, that Donald Trump is the only person to ever committed treason or espionage. Richard Nixon, when he ran in 1968, all polls show that Hubert Humphrey, the Democratic nominee in 1968, was ripe and ready to win the presidency over Nixon. But what did Nixon do? He, along with his staff, met at his house in New York, and they had a little meeting and spoke with the powers that be in Vietnam, saying that they can cut some deal. And if you hold off on signing the treaty that LBJ administration brokered with the communists in Vietnam, then, you know, Nixon would give an even sweeter deal, you know. And it's all on recording, and Nixon was following LBJ's lead in terms of, you know, secret recordings and everything. And so the last time or first time that this ever came out, what Nixon did, brokering a deal with the Vietnamese, the communists, for a sweeter deal than LBJ. You know, it came out in 2013 and haven't been reported in the media since. You know, so Republicans have this knack of, you know, doing espionage and lying and what have you, because, you know, without that deal Richard Nixon made in 1968 with the South Vietnamese communists, then I doubt Richard Nixon could have beat Hubert Humphrey in that 68 race. You know, the polls were showing, you know, double-digit leads for a senator from Minnesota. And it is a shame, really, because, you know, look at what Reagan did. You know, as soon as he put his hand on the Bible and took the oath of office, all 52 hostages in Iran were freed, American hostages in Iran. You know why? Because all polls show that Jimmy Carter had a strong lead ahead of him. And, you know, again, some backdoor deals by Republicans who spoke with the Ayatollah and whomever else on behalf of Reagan Bush team and saying, hey, we can cut a sweet deal for you. You know, could give you arms for the hostages, but wait till, until I'm president for that to happen. You know, and, you know, Republicans are just like, you know, they say one thing in public, but behind closed doors, they're different. You know, total opposite. You know, and it's disgraceful how, you know, they say, oh, they're for the defense, they're for law and order, but yet still they're doing these things. So not only Donald Trump is corrupt and an evil piece of shit, but Nixon was, Reagan was, you know, and they just have a history of doing this, you know. So no matter who you are, you're not bigger than the Constitution. And I don't know, the media knew all of this, but never, ever said a thing about the Nixon thing since 2013. And it hasn't been received or said publicly since. Why is that? And you want to say there's a liberal media? That's bias, that's bogus, that's bullshit. You know, Reagan, it came out, what he did with the Iran hostage deal, arms for deal with Ayatollah Khomeini, the leader of Iran. You know, so all these things coming home to roost now. So we can't trust any Republican candidate who said, oh, yeah, we're for law and order, because I don't respect the Constitution. So, you know, call us and tell us what you think about the Republicans, because, you know, they're no good. They've never been good. They never will be good. I would love to hear from everybody. We love when, you know, people call in and say what they have to say and share, you know, their ideas on how America can be better and what have you. So, again, the number is 515-605-9802. Okay, so at the get-go, we start here in the USA Today recently. I think it was yesterday or day before yesterday, in front of Orlando Disney World, DeSantis supporters gathered outside the entrance of Disney World with NASA flags, signs supporting Florida, Florida Governor DeSantis. They had Nazi flags. They had placards with anti-homophobic or anti-homosexual writings on it. They use racial slurs and what have you, you know. So, and when you call them out on it, they're like, oh, no, we're not racist. Maybe you are the racist, even though the evidence is there right in front of you. You know, they're homophobes, they're anti-minority, they're anti-Jewish, you know. So what is not there? They're showing the colors bright and clear. You know, what do you think about that?
Well, they're haters, for one thing. They do not like, they hate anyone that is not like them. And it was a small gathering, which I'm glad to hear that it was a small gathering. But still, it just shows you what's happening in this country, that there is an undercurrent of hate. And we are in an era in this country where we need unity, we need inclusion, we need to be kind to people, we need to help others, and we're all turned upside down because the hatred is stronger right now than the love, let's put it that way. And there has to be a change to that. And the current Republican Party that we have right now feeds the hate. They feed the rhetoric. They feed the lies. and they're good at it. They've been good at it. And we have to just keep going up against them and just showing how they lie through the years and how they smother stories and hide stories so that, you know, people cannot find out, you know, what liars and thieves and cheats that they really are.
Yes, and this demonstration by the neo-Nazis / white nationalists who supported DeSantis also had, some of them had Trump signs. There were 15 people displaying NASA insignia gathering outside Walt Disney World theme park in Orlando, which was yesterday. This is according to the Orange County Sheriff's Office. And a lot of them, or a majority of those 15 people, supported Governor Ron DeSantis. The Orange County Sheriff's Office said deputies responded to the demonstration, which dissipated after about 2 hours with no arrests. Two counter-protesters also showed up. And according to the Orange County Sheriff's Office, they really deplore hate speech in any form, but people have the First Amendment right to demonstrate. You know, and they say that they were aware of these groups that aim to agitate and incite people with anti-Semitic symbols and racial slurs and anti-gay slurs, you know, but, you know, nothing comes of it really because, you know, according to them, it's free speech. You know, multiple people with red and black flags with swastikas. And one poster, one person held a poster of DeSantis, according to photos and videos circulating on social media. It was obtained by the USA Today newspaper. And one person, her name is Lisa Gauss, who's 60 years old, told the USA Today newspaper she and her son were stopped at the red light when she saw a small group and took pictures on a scene, and that is her picture circulating around social media now. You know, the signs show DeSantis 2024, Make America Florida flags planted in the ground, people waving it. You know, I mean, yeah, it's really disturbing and sickening and gut-wrenching. Imagine people fought in World War III, World War II, for ancestors against nationalism. And totalitarian government and things like that, but yet the Republican Party embracing these white nationalists. It's appalling, it's disturbing, it's disgusting. And the Republican Party can do better. So, you know, regardless of political ideology, you know, America, we should not condone this and just let it slide. You know, America's built on diversity, and we will always stand against bigotry and hate. There's no space for that.
Yes, I mean, the First Amendment is a wonderful thing, but I'm starting to feel like there are some that take it to the limit with their rhetoric. And I'm going to go through a little bit of what has been said in the past few days as we go on. But the things that are said are not kind. They're brutal things, and they spark, that can spark violence and hatred. And we don't, as a country, we do not need that right now. You know, we're in charted waters. We have an ex-president that is basically a traitor to the country. There's nothing else to be said about him. He is a traitor, and he needs to be dealt with appropriately. So there's no reason for all this hatred and, you know, standing up for him because of what he did. Is what he did. He put America at risk. He put our safety at risk. And it'll come out as to why he did it. And we can kind of guess as to why he did what he did, to hold the cards and to, you know, make little side deals, probably, more than likely. But I'm sure that'll all come out as time goes by. But people have to open up their minds and start to listen and realize where we are in history right now. This is a sad moment for this country. It's really sad. And a lot of people stressed out and feeling edgy and unhappy because there is so much rhetoric, hatred, and there's the kindness is is dissipating. So we need to change that, like I said before.
Mm-hmm. And before taking this call from Elaine in Michigan, I just want to make clear that the former CEO for Disney criticized Florida's law, which is the Florida's Parental Rights Education Act, which is dubbed mm-hmm. Don't Say Gay Law. DeSantis mm-hmm. responded to the criticism by signing legislation and stripped Disney of the rights to govern on land that includes Disney World and overhauling properties governing board. But Disney then passed mm-hmm. measures to deprive this new board appointed by DeSantis of its powers for decades. So in April past, DeSantis announced new legislation asserting control over Disney and suggested that a prison could be built nearby. And then days later, Disney sued DeSantis and other government officials, accusing them of retaliating against the company for engaging in exercising its constitutional right of free speech. God, Disney's all for, talking about, sexual orientation and gender identity, teaching that in the classroom along with sex education. You know, because we're living in the 2000s now, the 21st century, and, mm-hmm. People need to be aware and learn about, sexual orientation, whether you're gay, straight, bisexual, whatever, pansexual, transgender. But the holier than thou Republicans, with DeSantis mm-hmm. in Florida, think that, mm-hmm. their way or the highway, and people like mm-hmm. that, should not be given a platform to speak of who they are and just be who they are. The Republican Party is so full of hate for people who are different from them that, the First Amendment do apply to them,
Right.
So Disney, one more thing, Disney canceled construction of nearly $1 billion office complex in Orlando, and DeSantis announced mm-hmm. his presidential bid days later. So it's a war between DeSantis and Disney. I don't think DeSantis nor the Republican Party can beat Disney because Disney have billions of dollars at their disposal, and Disney will win the war.
Mm-hmm. They absolutely will. I mean, everyone loves Disney. Everyone's been to Disney. People have good memories at Disney. And, for him to rail up against, a family environment like that, a family company that's just brought joy to people, it's obnoxious and it's uncalled for, and he is not presidential material, period. But we can go over that mm-hmm. another time. He definitely is not.
Yeah. None of the candidates really are presidential timber. They're all extremists, mm-hmm. it's just different degrees and levels of extremism. Yeah, mm-hmm. Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, Asa Hutchins, a former governor of Arkansas. Mm-hmm. I could go through the list. Chris Christie.
Yeah.
Who else running? What's his name? Mother is his wife. The former vice president, Mike Pence.
Yeah.
He's the most dangerous of them all because imagine Trump tried to have him killed on January 6th mm-hmm. and he has a gall to keep defending Trump. What's that about?
Yeah, he talks out of both sides of his mouth. He said mm-hmm. that when, vice president with Trump, Trump did all kinds of wonderful things. And then the next mm-hmm. moment, in the next sentence, he said, but he doesn't deserve to be president. So which is it? Was he a wonderful guy, or was he a traitor to the country? Hello, I mean, come on,
yeah,
Pence.
Nothing more than pandering to the base, which is scum of American society, and that's all there is to it. Because Trumpism have a hold on the Republican Party, and he doesn't want to offend Trumpers or people who are on the side of them, He wants a shot at being nominee, which I doubt he'll ever get because Pence, he is living in the 1940s and 1950s. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Elaine holding on for too long now. Let's bring her in. Hello,
okay.
Elaine. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
Good evening, everybody. Well, first of all, I'd like to speak about the First Amendment. You know, the First Amendment, they can protest with Nazi flags and et cetera, et cetera. But yet when there's a picket line, all of a sudden there's no First Amendment. I would like any of the listeners out there who have been on a picket line and have been attacked by goons and been and had their First Amendment right stifled because they went on strike and they were walking with picket signs and trying to get the message out, I would like them to call in and explain what they've had to go through, how their First Amendment rights were trampled on.
Oh, well.
Second, I would like to say Lindsey Graham today, Lindsey Graham today, what a crybaby. That man does not know what he is talking about. First Trump is no good, now he's wonderful. And I am getting so sick of Hillary's emails. I want the media to keep talking about the 37 indictments. I want it 24/7, 7 days a week. I want it to get to the people. There are going to be, it's not a big number, but there are going to be some MAGAMs that are going to go to the voting booth and in the privacy of their voting booth vote an opposite party. Or they're going to stay home. And that's what they need to do. They need to have the truth drummed into their head.
Yes.
That's what I have to say so far.
Yeah. You're absolutely the media has to work really hard to explain this case because there are many people that think it's no big deal. It is a big deal. He put our country at risk. He put the people of our country at risk. He gave away top secret information, probably for money. And I'm not saying that he did, but it'll come out. So, yes. I mean,
there's a difference between somebody packing a box with a half a dozen pieces of paper in it when you are making the move. You have about, 24 hours to move out. That's a little box. And from what I understand, that type of mistake is usually, well, everything is marked classified from what I understand. And even notes that somebody called, somebody would like to speak to you, everything is put classified because that is the government. We have to protect ourselves. But when you have 1,800 boxes, maybe I've got the number a little bit high. I don't know. But it sure looked like an awful lot. I counted in the pictures around 50 in the toilet. I mean, in the bathroom. I counted about 20 on the stage. There was other places that there was boxes. Now, his first wife died. She was cremated. Well, what's in that coffin? Paper?
Well,
how many boxes?
We have all
and then she's buried on the golf course where you can't tamper with his private property and that coffin. Bull crap.
Yeah, she was
cremated. I
won't
tell you.
You know how she was cremated. So why many so many people? Why was her coffin so heavy? You know,
ten people and men look like they were all getting a hernia. That's how heavy the coffin was.
Right? I wish somebody would just spill the beans and just out Trump for the liar that he is. And, you know, I just want to see Trump behind bars. But recently, Jack Smith, the special counsel, had a brief press conference and made a statement on the Trump indictment. I'm going to play it for you right now, and we'll talk about it afterwards.
Good afternoon. Today, an indictment was unsealed, charging Donald J. Trump with felony violations of our national security laws, as well as participating in a conspiracy to obstruct justice. This indictment was voted by a grand jury of citizens of the Southern District of Florida, and I invite everyone to read it in full to understand the scope and the gravity of the crimes charged. The men and women of the United States intelligence community and our armed forces dedicate their lives to protecting our nation and its people. Our laws that protect national defense information are critical to the safety and security of the United States, and they must be enforced. Violations of those laws put our country at risk. Adherence to the rule of law is a bedrock principle of the Department of Justice, and our nation's commitment to the rule of law sets an example for the world. We have one set of laws in this country, and they apply to everyone. Applying those laws, collecting facts, that's what determines the outcome of an investigation. Nothing more and nothing less. Mm-hmm. The prosecutors in my office are among the most talented and experienced in the Department of Justice. They have investigated this case human to the highest ethical standards, and they will continue to do so as this case proceeds. Very important for me to note that the defendants in this case must be presumed innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law. To that end, my office will seek a speedy trial in this matter, consistent with the public interest and the rights of the accused. We very much look forward to presenting our case to a jury of citizens in the Southern District of Florida. In conclusion, I would like to thank the dedicated public servants of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, with whom my office is conducting this investigation and who work tirelessly every day upholding the rule of law in our country. I'm deeply proud to stand shoulder to shoulder with them. Thank you very much.
So that was Jack Smith there in his brief statement about the indictment of Donald Trump. And, you know, he finally is, Donald Trump, he accused or unsealed charges that Donald Trump violated national security laws as well as participating in conspiracy to obstruct justice. You know, and all of it will come out in court when there's a trial. And, you know, just have to wait and see what happened because, you know, I mean, how can anyone still support Donald Trump? That would, you know, he's there to make a profit for himself and not defend America, that the Constitution said the president should. You know, it's just mind-boggling that people still support him. And considering Jack Smith's track record of, you know, getting war criminals life sentences and everything at the Hague, you know, I believe in Jack Smith and his integrity. And, you know, justice will be served. The American people have been waiting a long time for it. And it's so ironic that the same law that it tried to get Hillary Clinton with and to change it to a federal offense is what gets him Donald Trump. It's pleasing.
Yep.
You know, it's so satisfying.
It sure is. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I want to point out that about Jack Smith. He made it very clear that in this country, anybody, everybody is innocent until proven guilty. Yet, you turn on Fox News, INN, and all those other crazy right-wing propaganda news media, which they aren't news media, they're entertainment channels. And what do you get from them? Do you get that type of reporting or comments? No. Hillary is guilty. She bleached her phone. And it goes on and on and on. I am getting tired of the right wing and the way they talk. We have laws in this country. And everybody in this country is innocent until proven guilty. I've got my own feelings on the guilt or innocence of the former president. But that is the way that we are in this country, and we better damn well start living up to it. And we don't take and accuse Hunter Biden of crimes when he isn't even in court.
Exactly.
And go on TV, go on radio, and say that Hunter Biden is guilty when he hasn't even been indicted or he isn't even in court. This has got to stop. And again, I'm going to keep pushing. We need the fairness doctrine. That's a start. I'm a little hot right now. I've been listening to it for 24 hours, and the more I listen to it, the angrier I'm getting. This man put this whole country in danger, and we do not know if he shared or somebody went to the bathroom and stole things, took things.
I know. Absolutely.
We don't know if our people are in trouble or are in danger.
No, we do not. Let's talk
and
a moment.
You know, wait, Lori, and the point I want to make is that he, at Mar-a-Lago, his shitty hotel or whatever you want to call it, he was the one with a group of people. He was bragging about having these documents, make some of the people even see what was in it. It was state secrets about invading Iran and everything. And who knows that if any of them were spies, and who knows if they went into the bathroom, took pictures of it, sent it back to Russia or Iran or whoever, you know? You know, they have him on tape saying that, you know? But it wouldn't surprise me.
Was anybody watching them when they went in the bathroom? They could have downright taken the documents. Does Trump even know what the hell he's got? Yes, he does know what he's got. He is out of money, and he's going to sell all the secrets.
It's so wonderful to hear someone with integrity and intelligence speak like Jack Smith. You know, unfortunately, we are in a short supply of those people in society, especially on the Republican side. They're just a bunch of carnival barkers with no solutions to America's problems, no ideas, no sense of purpose in terms of, like, moving the country forward and everything. But I digress. You're making a point, Lori. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to talk for a few minutes, about why Jack Smith decided to have the to indict him in Florida. You know, the other thing is that we also know that Judge Eileen Cannon has been assigned, at least for now, indictment of Trump case in Miami on Tuesday. Judges are assigned randomly. It's kind of fishy that she got assigned to this, but we remember who she is, correct? I'll go over who she is. There is a concern about her because, you know, being assigned to the case. She was, and let's go back, she was a Trump-appointed. She was Trump-appointed, and she was confirmed by the Republican Senate 9 days after the 2020 election, who last fall delivered a pro-Trump ruling. This ruling came in a suit filed by Trump in August of 22, 2 weeks after the FBI searched Mar-a-Lago and found documents. Judge Cannon, if we all remember, ruled that Trump could have a special master review the seized documents. I remember being appalled and thinking, what the hell? I mean, really, who is this woman? So in December of 22, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit reversed the decision and said that Cannon had no authority to appoint a special master. So what she should do, she should not take the case. If she has any integrity, because of that, that just shows me or tells me, it makes me suspicious. She should not take the case. So I think it's problematic if she takes the case, but I think Jack Smith is prepared for it. And it's extremely likely that the DOJ will challenge the assignment in the 11th Circuit and win. And then the second thing is, why did Jack Smith choose Florida? Well, we know most of, you know, the documents were there. The case is basically there. So that's why he chose Florida, and it occurred in Florida. Even though, you know, they could have done it in D.C. because there is that connection. But the reason that Jack Smith decided that Florida would be the better state to have it in is because he wanted to avoid the public perception that he was forum shopping, which makes sense. People will say, oh, you know, you're in D.C., you know, and it happened in Florida. Well, no, he's going to go to Florida and do it. And the other thing is that ignored, you know, he stonewalled the return of the documents for 18 months, 18 months. Who knows what could have happened in those 18 months? I mean, that's craziness. And in that bathroom, if you look behind that curtain that's covering the bathtub or whatever shower, whatever is there, there are boxes stacked up behind that because you can see them on the top right hand corner. So it is just unbelievable what this man, the length that this man took and the time that he took to hide everything for his obsessive reasoning of having classified documents as leverage for whatever he wanted in the future or in the present.
And if we think Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan were pieces of shit, Donald Trump is the biggest piece of shit to ever hold office of president of the United States. The world is watching, and this Judge Cannon person, she should recuse herself. If not, the 11th Circuit Court will, because there's a conflict of interest. Based on our track record, like you said, she almost bitched up the case that Jack Smith was trying to have and everything because he's such a Trump loyalist. There are videos and pictures of her in her Make America Great cap at Trump rallies, waving flags and going on and carrying on and what have you. So she's not the judge for the case, and she doesn't know the law. You know, she's just a Trump appointee. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
She's just blind loyalty to Trumpism and Donald Trump.
I believe she's only been on the bench for 2 years, so she does not have experience. This is not the kind of thing, a trial that she, or indictment or trial, that she should have be anywhere near. It's way above her, I am sure, you know? I mean, no offense, but this is, you know, this is serious stuff. This is not just, you know, a simple case. And I do believe that Jack Smith has had, from what I've read, he has really, he has put it in a way that it's easy to read. He's got his pictures. I mean, it's, you know, it's not like going through and reading, you know, page after page after page. It's simply put, it's fairly stated, and, you know, and I don't see a problem, you know, with this going forward to a trial, in my opinion.
And Donald Trump,
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Yes, and Donald Trump was indicted for the classified documents that we've been saying, but he could face more indictments in an investigation of his potential role in January 6th attack, and a separate investigation in Georgia over possible election interference in the 2020 presidential elections, you know, and Fonda Willis is handling that case and said July, August. She will coming out and dropping indictments. And rumor has it that Lindsey Graham, Rudy Giuliani, possibly Trump, and other big time Republicans may be indicting. That's a good sign and everything. And so on MSNBC, Alicia Menendez, and the legal analyst for MSNBC, Lisa Rubin, discussed the mounting legal challenges that Trump faces in the 2024 presidential race as it heats up in the Republican primary. And, you know, on the next side of this video, do you think Trump would do the right thing by withdrawing from the race, or would he continue? But before we answer that, let's listen to what MSNBC was saying earlier today, and, you know, the mounting pressure on Donald Trump and all the cases against him. And here it is.
Characterizing the DOJ as engaging in election interference. And you've made the argument to me that the election interference argument and the witch hunt argument actually aren't separate arguments.
Not anymore. So we used to talk about Donald Trump accusing folks of election interference when they were doing things that were actually electoral, right? Like dead people voting or somehow Dominion falsifying votes in their voting machines and the like. What Trump has done is pivoted away from accusations of actual election fraud and instead married the dominant trope of his presidency and his life as a politician, they're after me, this is a witch hunt, and merged that into election interference. And here's why. Because many of the things that happened in the 2020 election that he characterized as fraud, he now knows they weren't fraudulent at all. It's perfectly legal, for example, to ballot harvest in many states. Stephen Miller has gone on record saying Republicans need to do these things that Democrats have done successfully. Trump knows that too, and that's why he's going to say instead the election interference now is the way in which the Justice Department and other prosecutors are pursuing him. It's a way of continuing the theme of election interference, but pivoting to a different way of explaining what exactly the interference is.
Right, so long as people are distracted from what actually happened. Here's what I want to do. I want to walk through the other cases and your sense of timeline. So it is my sense based on analysts that I have read and listened to that it is likely that Special Counsel Jack Smith brings the 1-6 case next. And then we look at Fannie Willis, and then in the background there are the other cases. Is that your sense as well?
I don't know. Because, for example, we see news this week that Steve Bannon was just subpoenaed to testify before a grand jury. On the other hand, we know that there is a mountain of evidence that DOJ has already collected in the January 6th investigation. What I will say is this, Alicia. We know that Jack Smith has a keen sense of timing and that he knows that he is running up against an electoral clock. Right. And because of that, my money might be on him to go next and before Fannie Willis in August, which is when she has communicated to the judges of Fulton County, she expects there to be some action in her case.
So talk to me then about the second component of this, which is the interplay between these cases, right? If they all like go from being on the back burner to actually being active, what does that then mean?
Right. And there's no rule or even practice that compels judges in different areas of the country, in different judicial systems, to communicate with each other about who goes first. So, for example, we already know Trump has a civil trial here in New York in October. It's the New York Attorney General's case. That's the $250 million fraud case we talk all the time about, doing substantial damage to Trump Inc. as an enterprise. It may be that it would be more advantageous for the Department of Justice if Tish James were willing to step aside. But that requires a judge to be willing to postpone their calendar, right? And we don't know, are these judges going to get on the phone with each other? Are they going to coordinate together? In some respects, each of these prosecutors is going to lose some control over timing based on when they charge and what else happens in their case, what motion practice happens, for example, and just how fast discovery and the like run.
Okay, so you heard all that. So Donald Trump investigations include the classified documents he was indicted. January 6th coming up possibly after this classified documents case. E. Jean Carroll, the civil case in Liable in New York, where he won't shut his mouth. He keeps digging deeper and deeper. The hush money indictment, Stormy Daniels, the adult film star who he paid money to, and he lied. And election interference in Georgia, Fannie Willis. You know, so, you know, Trump, don't drop the soap in prison, okay? Because you're going to get fucked so hard. And I'm so happy that he's finally facing justice after all these years. You know, and when you say, oh, lock her up, and people, you know, freak out on Donald Trump's side, the Trumpers, the cultists, the MAGA cultists saying, oh, you know, lock him up. So I guess pronouns do matter. I'm glad he's getting justice. I'm so happy.
Well, I won't have a real sigh of relief. I was very happy, you know, when I heard that he was indicted. But until all of this plays out, I won't be, you know, calm, and I won't be that happy. I don't want to pop the champagne just yet, but I do think karma is on its way. He deserves karma. If anyone deserves karma, it's Donald Trump. He truly does.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
The other thing is, for a moment, can we talk about the co-defendant? His name was Walt Nacha. I sent you the link, David. Mm-hmm.
The Trump aid that was charged in classified documents case. He was the valet of Donald Trump as well.
Yes. His charges are violating the Espionage Act and conspiring to obstruct a federal investigation, charges of false statements to the government. These are all very deep, serious crimes against the country, and he can go to prison for a long time. So Walt Nacha is currently an aide to Trump. He was a U.S. Navy veteran and was a White House military valet to Trump and joined him as his assistant after he left office. And a little background on him, because I was curious about him. He was born in Guam, which is a U.S. territory. He enlisted in the U.S. Navy in 2001. His Navy records show he climbed up through the ranks to become a senior chef of culinary specialist in 2021. And according to the indictment, Trump directed him to move boxes from a storage room and hide them from the Trump attorney, the FBI, and the grand jury. And big mistake that this man made was to to follow Trump as a White House to follow Trump as his assistant after he left office. He was his White House valet when Trump was president. And then once he left office, he went to Mar-a-Lago with him and became his Michael Cohen, so to speak. So this is what happens to people when they get close to Trump. And he's in deep shit. How else can you put it? This man's going to probably go to prison as well.
According to this guy's aunt, he did everything at the direction of the former president. So if the president said, hey, jump off a cliff, well, would he have jumped off a cliff? And his family members in Guam described Nart as a very good boy. No, he's a naughty boy trying to cover up for Trump, you know, taking all those documents and hiding them, you know. Nobody could pay me enough money to lie under a federal grand jury, under oath, I'd go prison. Nobody should have that power over you,
And not only that, David, he was in the Navy. He's a U.S. Navy veteran. I mean, think about that. I mean, the whole thing is so bizarre how far down the rabbit hole this man went for the orange piece of shit. How else can I say it? But,
people. You know the phrase, money talks and bullshit walks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like I said, I don't know what he promised him. It doesn't really matter. And I agree with you, David. No one could pay me enough money in this world to do what he did. I mean, not even a fraction of what he did, I couldn't do it. So, it just shows you that the length that people will go, and his life is basically ruined. I mean, it's ruined. I mean, what else can you say?
Exactly. He's a born man who knows the difference between right and wrong, but yet still, out of blind loyalty, he did what Donald Trump said he should do. The next person who I have no esteem or no hold in high regards is Carrie Lake. She came out defending Donald Trump after the indictment, saying it's a constant witch hunt, and the liberal media is painting Trump to be this unpatriotic person. He is. you know?
Yeah.
And I'm looking for the clip of her. She said something that was out of order, that was instigated by violence.
I
wish you could find that.
If you don't have the clip, David, I have what she said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you want me to read it?
Go ahead with it. Yes.
Okay. Trumper Carrie Lake loses it over Trump's indictment, sends an unhinged death threat to President Biden, Special Attorney Counsel Jack Smith, and Attorney General Merrick Garland, Georgia Republican Party Convention. She went on the stage and said, and I quote, "I have a message for Joe Biden, Merrick Garland, and Jack Smith, and the guys back there in the fake news media. You should listen up as well. This one's for you. If you want to get to President Trump, you're going to have to go through me, and you're going to have to go through 75 million Americans just like me. And I'm going to tell you, most of us are card-carrying members of the NRA. The worst part is that the deranged Republic audience roared with approval. Adding insult to injury, she then doubled down on her death threat, telling a Washington Post reporter, I meant what I said." So, I mean, this, when you talk about the First Amendment, like I tried to, you know, say before, this is wrong. So there should be something that protects us as civilians. And
mm-hmm.
how do we stop
mm-hmm.
this? How do we stop this? Really?
How do we stop this is by voting Democrats straight down the ticket from federal level
yeah.
right on the school board, you know, because Republicans are doing everything they can in their power to change election
mm-hmm.
rules where you have to have ID, the closing down in inner cities, polling stations and precincts where the poor and less
mm-hmm.
affluent have easier access to it to go and vote. They're doing all sorts of things. When you're in line, you know, in Georgia, for example, in line, you can't get a bottle of water, or you can't eat
mm-hmm.
anything, or you can't excuse yourself and go to the bathroom. If so, you lose your place in line and you can get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally Jim Crow. I can't believe in
mm-hmm.
this day and age where there's social media and we're watching Republicans
mm-hmm.
who stoop down to this level. There's no bottom with these people. You know,
no.
it's humiliating for democracy. They don't mean democracy well. They don't believe in democracy. What they want is Trump or some figurehead up there doing Russia's bidding and, you know, putting their ideas and their corporate masters ahead of everybody. More tax cut for the rich. They got $2 trillion under Donald Trump. They got even more
mm-hmm.
under George W. Bush. How much more tax cuts
yeah.
you don't want? You know,
yeah.
trickle-down economics don't work. Herbert Hoover
no.
been trying it. That's why he lost 1932 elections. There's no regulations on Wall Street and for business. Everything crashed and went to hell, you know?
Yep.
And they didn't have a name back for it then. But, you know, that crazy person from Arizona, Barry Goldwater, brought in a religious
mm-hmm.
zealots within the party. So not only supply-side economic, trickle-down economics, voodoo economics people, were there,
mm-hmm.
but no, evangelicals came in into play. They had the money, they had the influence, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the Republican Party, 1964 and beyond, just went to shit after that, you know, and
yeah.
Eisenhower is probably turning in his grave at how his party, the party of Lincoln, has gone, you know, from being decent and,
mm-hmm.
you know, at least trying to defend democracy because, you know, they say they're a law and order. They say they're anti-communist, anti-autocratic, anti-socialist. But they're acting like how dictators act from Nixon
mm-hmm.
right down. You know, the
yeah.
Vietnamese peace deal that LBJ brokered and his vice president who was run for president in 1968, Hubert Humphrey from Minnesota, they brokered that deal with the Vietnamese, the communists in Vietnam, and because Nixon made some backroom deals with these communists in Vietnam to stop the war and hook them up
mm-hmm.
generously with money and resources and whatever, they withheld signing that deal with the LBJ administration. And that was what caused Richard Nixon to win the election. Added to which,
yep,
domestically, mm-hmm, the domestic policies was very, Southern strategy was used. You know, so you had a lot of Dixocrats move from being Democrats to Republican, mm-hmm, the Strom Thurmonds of the world, you know, and the Republican Party just went to hell from 1964 right through today. And it came to a head when Reagan, the patron saint of bullshit, Ronald Reagan, came to power in 1980, beating Jimmy Carter, and did a, mm-hmm, treasonous thing, like I said at the beginning of the show, where he broke out a backdoor deal with Ayatollah Khomeini of Iran, weapons for hostages. You know, isn't, mm-hmm, it coincidental that as soon as he put his hand on that Bible to give the oath of office, mm-hmm, as president of the United States, they were freed? You know?
Yep. Yeah.
Miraculous. My God.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's sickening. And then going back to the rhetoric a little bit, there's also Arizona Republican Congressman Andy Biggs, who took to Twitter, mm-hmm, and used violent language to call for retribution. We have reached a war phase, an eye for an eye. And then we have Pete Santilli, a far-right talk show host, called on the military to use zip ties to detain Biden, put him in the back of a pickup truck, and get him out of the White House. That's what he said. And then we have Governor DeSantis, who is running for president after he heard the news about Trump being indicted. He went on to say, mm-hmm, the weaponization of federal law enforcement represents a mortal threat to a free society. And then he also said, and I quote, the DeSantis administration will bring accountability to the DOJ, excise political bias, and end weaponization once and for all. What is he talking about? He is the most...
I have no clue.
He is insane. So I want everyone to understand Ron DeSantis is dangerous. Donald Trump did what he did, but this one is dangerous. I could see him doing, mm-hmm, horrible things as well, but using the government and our laws to do it. I really can. Mm-hmm. He scares the crap out of us.
They're all dangerous. They're all putting logs on the fire, and they're adding gasoline to it. And it's,
yeah,
not regular gasoline. It's high test.
I know.
They're all
it
doing
is.
It. One of the things, yeah, that we've got to remember and we need to repeat, and I'm sure that you've got that on your agenda to speak about, is Jack,
mm-hmm,
Smith has prosecuted,
mm-hmm,
successfully just as many Democrats.
Oh,
mm-hmm,
I'm sure. Yeah. Sure.
So,
mm-hmm,
you know, when the Republicans are going to give us an argument, Jack Smith is an equal opportunity prosecutor. If you're,
mm-hmm,
dirty,
mm-hmm,
you go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yes. Before we'll go on to the other segment, I want to say that yesterday was a gay pride march on Central Avenue in downtown Albuquerque. And it was my,
mm-hmm,
first experience with an event like that, and everything was colorful. You know, people were beating the drums, people were cheering and laughing. It was just a,
mm-hmm,
you know, good time, you know. So
yeah,
to the LGBT community in New Mexico and around the United States, you know, happy Pride Month. And,
yeah,
you know, hope everybody's safe. And, you know, if you're in the closet, you know, come out. Nobody will judge you here on the show. And make sure you have,
mm-hmm,
people who surround you, who love you and support you. And don't do anything irrational, like try to hurt yourself because you don't understand the feelings you're going through. You know, just be who you,
yep,
are, you know.
Yeah.
And to help people who hate you and think less of you because you come out as gay or lesbian or bi or transgender. You know, those people aren't God or whoever deity you believe in,
mm-hmm,
you know. you know, before, if you live in a glass house, don't throw stones. Some of these same people who are anti-LGBT behind the scenes and behind closed doors, you know, did the same thing, you know, but as though I'll come out. And because of this whole religious dogma thing about judging people, they think they're better than me because, oh, I'm straight and, you know, I'm upright in society and gay is a sin and blah, blah, blah. Fuck that. Just be you.
Yeah.
You know, nobody can hate you for being you. If they do hate you for being you, then they don't deserve to be in your tribe, in your circle of friends. You know, just ignore them. Just phase them out of your life and just be you. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's it. That's it. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Okay. You know, the other thing I was going to say is, you know, there are Christians that think that, you know, if you're a son or a daughter and you think that, you know, they come and tell you that they're gay, they believe that you can talk yourself out of it. That's what they believe, that you can talk yourself out of it and, you know, pray to God and all of that. And I don't think
gay conversion therapy.
I don't think that you can talk yourself out of it. I've always thought, I mean, you can see people that are different. You can hear their voices, their mannerisms. It's nature, you know? Why are we doing this now in this country? It's been here forever. Just love everybody. If they're not bothering you, like we have said a million times, that they're not stepping on your toes and bothering you, and just go on with your business and let people do what they're going to do. You know, and that's it. I just don't understand why someone has to be so righteous and get into your business about everything now. I mean, it's everything just about. So they have to stop that. Just stop it, you know. There's another little thing that I wanted to mention. I did send this to you as well, David. It's about Tristan Snell. He's another reporter, and he said on Twitter that either Ivanka or Melania potentially implicated in the Mar-a-Lago indictment, reference to a female family member involved in decisions about where to move the boxes. So it's might be either Ivanka or Melania, or possibly Kimberly Guilfoyle or Lara Trump.
Guilfoyle. That's Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend.
Yeah.
Kimberly Guilfoyle. That's how you pronounce her name.
You know who I think it might be? Kimberly.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I think it might be. But
that would be good.
Oh, yeah. She's got a big mouth. You don't think so?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's crazy. You know? And the other thing is, the same reporter said, to remember that there were two sets of security cam footage from Mar-a-Lago. One, the Trump Organization produced to the DOJ, and another that the security vendor produced to the DOJ. And the two sets are different. Trump altered the videos. That's obstruction of justice right there.
Exactly. So, first things hitting him, you know, there's no escape, but for years to come, he'll be, you know, in different lawsuits and trials and what have you. You know, he has no business for running for president again. The third time is not a charm. You're not getting anywhere, Trump, and God forbid he gets a nomination in 2024. You win the battle, but you lose the war. But I cannot foresee Americans voting for this clown, this loser, this orange Mussolini, over somebody like Joe Biden, who has brought stability to the economy. Record number of jobs, manufacturing jobs, a lot came back. You know, it's just a steady hand compared to Trump, which every other 2 seconds there was like conflict. You know, the way he handled a pandemic. Donald Trump, he and the way he spoke about hurricanes, you know, using sharpies, you know, Donald Trump is a fool. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, and the one, the Satan in Florida, he's even a worse idiot because every other thing he speaks of is woke. Woke this, woke that. I bet you anything,
yeah.
If you ask him what woke is, he doesn't have a clue to what woke means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and the rest of the Republican candidates are just fringe candidates. They say anything to get nominated. And when they're going there, you know, the scrub the websites and say, oh, no, you know, misinterpret what I said. You know, Nikki Haley is a fool. Tim Scott is a token black. He's a fool as well. You know, so it's just a waste of time. Waste of absolute time and resources and money with these people. They want an autocratic style of government with them in charge. I want to talk about free speech for them, when our side and anybody else who disagree with them want free speech. Oh, no, you know, taking out books. The Nazis did that. You know, burned books, banned books, certain books. What the Nazis did back in the 1930s, Republicans doing now. It is disgraceful. It makes me want to vomit these Republicans.
Yep. They sure are. And it's just, it's for money and power and nothing else. I mean, what else can it be? And some of them are probably covering time, you know, and that's yet to come, you know, that is yet to come.
And somebody like Mike Pence, the former vice president, he wants a theocracy, you know, that Bobo the clown from Colorado. She gave a speech earlier this year, about probably 3 months ago, saying that, you know, the church should make laws based off the Bible, you know, to some conservative crowd in her Colorado and everything. I mean, and then she loved preaching to people. She and Marjorie Taylor Greene about family values and importance of family, but yet still these two getting divorced. Absolutely nothing wrong with getting a divorce, but when you preach to people like that, you're like you're holier than thou and perfect. You get what I'm saying? Then you have no right to be on a pedestal judging people when you yourself you don't have your house in order.
Exactly. It's that, you know, and that's not part of their job anyway. You know, that's not part of their job. You know, to judge people and to, you know, tell people what they can and not do. They're, you know, that's not part of their job.
Exactly. Leave it to the church people, the minister on the pew. You get what I'm saying? Your position and religion and politics don't mix. The Constitution clearly states that. And speaking of buffoons, House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, he had a press conference on Capitol Hill Wednesday, May 18th. And he said the President of the United States can classify and he can control access to the national security information however he wants. He said it Sunday in defense of former President Donald Trump. So during an interview on CNN State of the Union, Jim Jordan supported Trump, who faced 37 federal charges stemming from an investigation into a cache of classified documents that he was stored at Mar-a-Lago, his Florida resort. And, you know, Trump allegedly violated the Espionage Act through willful retention of classified records. 49 pages, it just came out, people reading through it and everything. We at the show will also read out on it and educate the listeners more about it as weeks come by. So Jim Jordan, he said time and time again, he classified this, meaning, you know, Trump uses mind, and through mind, you know, say, okay, yeah, this is classified. Not taking the steps necessary to declassify something. How can you use your mind? Are you a fucking Jedi? What's wrong with you, Donald Trump? My God. I mean, what? That's crazy, man. You know? Oh, my God. And when asked if he had any evidence that Trump had declassified the material, which prosecutors said included intelligence about defense and weapons capability, Jordan said, quote, I go on the president's word, and he said he did, end quote. So no, this is our next cultist, MAGA cultist moron, who is in charge of the Judiciary Committee, which I find very ironic, because he was on investigations when Democrats were in control about that when he was an assistant coach at Ohio State. A lot of the boys came forward saying that, oh, you know, they were sexually harassed and sexually assaulted. And Jim Jordan did everything in his power to cover it. So how a man like Jim Jordan can be the chairman of the Judiciary Committee? Tell me. Tell me.
I know.
That's gross. You know?
Let's ask Kevin McCarthy how that happened. You know? Let's ask him. It just blows my mind as well. And the other thing that Joe said, he says, if he wants to store material in a box, he's talking about Trump, of course, in a box on the stage, he can do that. That's what he said. Really?
Yeah.
Really? Pardon? Really?
And the thing is, you know, and about not only that, Laurie, but when you look where it was stored in bathroom and closets, what have you, anybody access there, who, the cleaning lady, the janitor, whoever, can just go in there, take pictures, send to Russia or Iran or North Korea, whoever our enemy is, or even like photocopying them or even take them, as Elaine was saying earlier. You get what I'm saying?
And so the other thing is, and all the functions that he has there all the time. I mean, he has people coming there for different things constantly. You don't think that one of them could walk around and be nosy? Really? Come on.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
It's so ridiculous. He played with America's security for his own benefit. And I can't wait to find out exactly what it is. I have ideas, but I'm not going to say yet. So I do have ideas.
One of the interviews that they had today, they were talking about Trump was showing one of his aides classified documents. And he said, don't peek over my shoulder. It's got a map.
Yeah.
No,
he's crazy. What?
I mean, come on. Come on. If I just, it's just blowing my mind.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, to talk to an aide and tell him not to look over his shoulder because it's got a map.
Yep.
What does he mean?
It was strategy that I'm sure that the war room, they do strategical things all the time. That doesn't mean they're going to go through with them, but we can't give those secrets out to other countries.
No,
we
cannot. We cannot. Absolutely not. And who knows who has what? Who knows? And we don't know.
Oh, my God. How did we come to this? How did we come to this? Where
because
from Barack Obama, one of the brightest people.
People have started into having it too good.
One of the brightest people to ever hold office in our lifetime, Barack Obama, Harvard graduate, Harvard Law Review president, just a brilliant person. Who from him for a fool like Donald Trump? Anyway, 515-605-9802 is the number you call. Say your first name, where you're calling from. And remember to visit our website. More articles coming in short future, and not too distant future. The website is www.kitchenpolitics123.com. And we thank everybody for sharing across social media. We're also on Facebook. Just type in Kitchen Politics 123, and our groups will come up and everything. You could join, partake in the discourse and everything. Just be respectful and don't try to sell anything in there because, you know, it's not for advertising. You may have a business at home. We're not into that. Don't waste your time. We're talking here about talking politics, Democrats versus Republicans and American politics, you know, so that's what it's about. You know, so don't come in there with any drama or any bullshit. You'll be blocked. Okay, so next on the agenda, Kevin McCarthy. Another idiot. Mm-hmm. The Republican Party seems like mass-produced idiots and morons.
Mm-hmm.
After he seized power at the coveted Speaker's gavel, after 15 rounds, McCarthy has embraced the role of happy warrior. He frequently stopped, he was stopped by tourists to see if they wanted a snap, a selfie, or a photo with him, and sparring with reporters on Capitol Hill. And, you know, he's acting like this rock star, like he's big and bad and,
mm-hmm.
you know, important. You know, so he's now facing threats of being ousted by the far right, the loony caucus in a Republican House.
Mm-hmm.
And McCarthy filled up his calendar and capitalized on every moment as Speaker, as the Washington establishment openly speculate about how long he can hang on as Speaker. And, you know, one House Republican lawmaker who supported McCarthy for Speaker said, "I don't think he knows when it's going to happen, but he's planning just like it's going to happen tomorrow," end quote. So the speakership, you know, he gave up a lot of power in attaining the speakership after 15 rounds of voting.
Mm-hmm.
What did he give up? And, you know, when do you think the Republicans way have a successful revolt against them and oust them as Speaker of the House? What's your thoughts, Lori, and then Elaine?
Well, you know, the GOP lawmakers already are bringing the House business to a halt. I mean, they haven't done anything. It's probably been a week or two. They refuse to do anything. So they're having a temper tantrum and saying, we're not going to, you know, do anything. We're not going to work. So so let's see how the temper tantrum goes. And then who knows what they're going to do? I mean,
mm-hmm.
your guess is as good as mine, because these people
mm-hmm.
are so out there, irresponsible
mm-hmm.
and crazy that we
mm-hmm.
don't know what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's, you know, that Andy Biggs, you know, he's a former leader of the Ultra-Conservative Freedom Caucus, and the one he was a never Kevin. He didn't want Kevin McCarthy a speaker. You know, he tried to block
mm-hmm.
him from the top job, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's just, they're all, it seems like there's a lot of infighting,
mm-hmm.
I think Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene had a tiff of some sort. And so
mm-hmm.
they're all at each other's throats. They're all trying to outdo
mm-hmm.
each other. And they're all a bunch of clowns. They have no policy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to run the government. They don't know what the people need. They don't know their job. And here we are wasting taxpayer money, you know, putting up with
mm-hmm.
this shit. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Elaine, your thoughts.
We've got so much going on right now. If we didn't have all of this going on, I think the people could have an outcry that if they don't get back to work in the House, then they
mm-hmm.
don't get a wage. I mean, I'm sure we could
mm-hmm.
put the pressure on them. But we've got so many things going on right now. We've got to pick a
yeah.
battle. And I think our battle right now is to cede to the 37 indictments to Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
There's
yeah.
no answer for those clowns.
Mm-hmm.
There is no
mm-hmm.
answer.
Mm-hmm.
People wake up. Vote
yeah.
from the bottom to the top.
Yeah.
We've got
mm-hmm.
some real good crooks right here in our area, Lori, in the Tri-County area.
Mm-hmm.
Real big time ones. And so it does start from the bottom to the top.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what we have here.
That's for another show. That's our mayor,
mm-hmm.
our illustrious mayor in Warren, Jim Fultz.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, there are.
But that's for another show.
Yeah, it
mm-hmm.
sure is.
Can I put a light at the end of the tunnel, because there's nothing good to say about the House? Can I put
mm-hmm.
a good light at the end of the tunnel?
Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Hi, Taylor Swift. Now, she's got money, but she's not a gazillionaire.
No.
She had a very successful concert tour
oh.
in in Detroit this weekend.
Yeah.
She has donated an undisclosed super amount of money to Gleaners Food to feed the homeless families and children's food in school.
Yes, she did.
So there are lights at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
So kudos go to Taylor Swift. And she's not a she's not a billionaire. She's just a good person.
She has a good heart. She's, you know, all about women's rights and, you know, the whole nine yards. And she had a talking to from, I guess, her agent and a while back, because I heard the interview, I listened to the interview online, and they were telling her, you know, don't get involved in
politics.
You know, right. Yeah, don't get involved in women's rights and don't get involved in any of that. You know, we don't want you to do that. And she said, no, if I want to say something, I can say it. Just because, you know, I'm a pop star, you know, I'm a singer, I'm a star. That doesn't mean I don't have rights, and that doesn't mean that I don't have a voice. And so she uses her voice and her kindness, and that's what we need more of in this country. You know, a kind voice, and we need nice people to realize that not everyone, you know, is a millionaire. You know, there's a lot of middle class. There's a lot of people struggling, and they work every day. And you can't look down at people like that. You just can't. So, and kudos to Taylor Swift. And I heard the little speech that Gretchen Whitmer gave, and she welcomed her to the state, and it was awesome. I mean, my granddaughter got to go. And she was she was in heaven. And it was a positive opportunity, a positive concert, and it went beautifully, you know. It's just kind of sad that the tickets were so expensive. Now, my granddaughter was lucky. Her girlfriend was able to, her father, got tickets, and or else they wouldn't have been able to go. And she told me today that the tickets that they had, because they had a suite, were $10,000 because of because they were in the suite. That's crazy. So, you know, that kind of money, you know, that kind of money, you have to think about that, you know? It just kind of blows me away. But anyways, it was a positive experience, and we have to look at it that way.
Downtown Detroit was just absolutely shining. All the restaurants were full, and people were walking on the street and enjoying the city. So these Republicans can take all the nasty remarks they want to about a city that has a lot of minorities.
Yep.
They can make all the nasty remarks they have, but Detroit rocks.
It does. Absolutely.
Yeah. And speaking of Taylor Swift, the great actor Taylor Swift, I have a 2-minute video I want to play for everybody to hear how she writes for the trash Republicans. This happened a couple of years back and everything. She didn't want to be on the wrong side of history, and she's defending what she defends there about helping the poor. About women's rights, about gay rights, you know. So Taylor Swift, you know, I hope you make bundles of money on your tour, and, you know, we'll love you on the show, and keep doing what you're doing because you're awesome. So here's Taylor Swift giving Republicans shit.
We've not got involved in politics or religion.
Yeah, but this is on the home front. And also, back in the presidential election, I was in such a horrendous place that I was going to pop my head out of the sand.
Does Bob Hope do it? Does Mick Jagger do it?
Come on. These aren't your dad's celebrities, and these aren't your dad's Republicans.
Well, imagine if we came to you and said, hey, we've got this idea that we could halve the number of people that come to you next to it.
The other thing, just from a security standpoint, Taylor Swift comes out against Trump.
I don't care if they write that. Mm-hmm. I'm sad that I didn't 2 years ago, but I can't change that. I'm saying right now that this is something that I know is right, and you guys, I need to be on the right side of history, and if he doesn't win, then at least I tried.
So here's the problem.
I just want to read you what I wrote, and I'm going to try to start. I just really want you to know that this is important to me.
I totally agree with the issue.
Have you heard?
Yes, I've read the entire thing, and the bottom line right now, I'm terrified. I'm the guy that went out and bought armored cars.
I worry for her safety as much as anybody does, maybe more. It really is a big deal. She votes against Fair Pay for Women. She votes against the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act, which is just basically protecting us from domestic abuse and stalking. She votes.
That's right.
She thinks that if you're a gay couple, or even if you look like a gay couple, you should be allowed to be kicked out of a restaurant. It's really basic human rights, and it's right and wrong at this point. And I can't see another commercial and see her disguising these policies behind the words Tennessee Christian values. Those aren't Tennessee Christian values. I live in Tennessee. I am Christian. That's not what we stand for.
So that was Taylor Swift there blasting Marsha mm-hmm. Blackburn and the governor mm-hmm. of Arkansas, who was then the spokesperson, the White House press secretary, the cross-eyed mm-hmm. bimbo bitch. What's her name? Huckabee. Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yes.
You know, these Republican women are crazy. They're Stepford Wives and everything. So good for Taylor Swift for standing up,
oh, yeah.
you know, for what she believes in and everything. And if anybody want to give her a shit, you know, bring it on, because we will defend her. We will defend this chick. You know, she's on the right side of history.
Taylor Swift is one strong woman. She stood up to that man. He was trying to run her over, and she stood
mm-hmm.
up to him. Oh, kudos to Taylor Swift.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That was
and voter registration in Tennessee skyrocketed after Taylor Swift get out the vote push. Mm-hmm. Hillary didn't mm-hmm. win, unfortunately. But, you know, I mean, yeah, good for her what she did. She stand up for women. She stand up for minorities.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when Donald Trump was asked about
Taylor
Swift.
Hillary won the country. That's the other thing we got to mm-hmm. get rid of. That Electoral College is outdated.
We had it on the last show. We had that on the last show. It's outdated and should be removed and should make national a national holiday for voting on election day. So mm-hmm. this is what Donald Trump said after Taylor Swift made her bold statements and everything.
Marsha Blackburn. Marsha Blackburn is doing a very good job in Tennessee. She's leading now substantially, which she should. She's a tremendous woman. I'm sure Taylor Swift has nothing or doesn't know anything about her. And let's say that I like Taylor's music about 25% less now, okay?
Moron. Imbecile, juvenile asshole Donald Trump responding to Taylor Swift. And Marsha Blackburn, she has a strong challenger because the leader of the House in Tennessee, the one of the three people, remember the two Justins were kicked out, and she, you know, was that one vote away from being kicked out as well. She's thinking about running against Senator Marsha Blackburn for U.S. Senate in Tennessee, because 2024 is when Marsha Blackburn, the Republican Tennessee, is up for re-election. And the groundswell of support by the Democrat is so huge that Marsha Blackburn should be trembling in her boots now, because what the Republicans in the state of Tennessee did to those two black lawmakers by kicking them out is racist,
mm-hmm.
it's disgusting, disgraceful, and...
Yep.
You know, the chickens may come home to roost, you know. Marsha Blackburn is an idiot. She was having this press conference about how Democrats are planning, you know, to ban its stoves, gas stoves. I mean, what the hell is that? Nobody trying to do that. Up to now, I can't understand what the fuck that was about. Banning gas stoves. What?
That was on Fox News. I happened to get Fox News by mistake the other night. And I thought, I'll give it about 5 minutes. And they were talking about Joe Biden banning all gas stoves And they just, they were going through a whole list of things, and Gaston stuck in my head, and I thought, and these idiot people are believing this crap?
I know. It's crazy.
It's ridiculous. You Republicans are ridiculous. 515-605-9802. We just have under 30 minutes left in the show. We're glad everybody is, you know, alive and well and healthy. Summer coming up and everything, so, you know, keep hydrated. And blast those ACs because, for example, in New Mexico, a piece of heat reached us that day. I was thinking of playing soccer today, but my God, it was 8 or something degrees. I'm like, nope, ain't happening. Staying indoors, enjoying this AC, yeah, because heat stroke is a hell of a thing. You know, so keep hydrated. And before we move on and everything, I have a next clip, the history of Pride in Albuquerque. You know, it's a good thing and everything. And I just want to give exposure, more exposure in a positive light about the LGBTQ community and everything. They deserve it. You know, they're human beings. They deserve recognition. They deserve respect. And, you know, the hate that is shown against the LGBTQ community should be stopped. You know, enough is enough. These right-wing nutcases and evangelicals need to shut their mouths and go back under the rock where they come from. So this is a 2.5-minute clip of the history of Pride in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And then we'll come back and everything. So hope you enjoy.
We are celebrating Pride Month, and Albuquerque has one of the longest-running celebrations in the U.S. dating back almost 50 years.
It hasn't always been the big celebration it is today, though. Byron Morton shows us the struggles some faced as they worked toward equality.
It's a day full of rainbow-colored celebration, when thousands of people of all backgrounds come together for one central purpose. Be their dream ideal person. Have that voice. It all began here at Morningside Park 47 years ago in 1976 when a small group of people gathered together to celebrate diversity within the Albuquerque community.
This is sort of our sacred space here in Albuquerque, the park.
Albuquerque Pride archivist Dr. P.J. Cedillo gives us a glimpse back at what that first Pride was like.
25 brave individuals in 1976 here in Albuquerque went starting over here in Morningside Park at the local church, MCCA, and there was a bar called The Heights, which actually gave donuts to the people, and they marched on, it would be on the right side, heading towards UNM, on the sidewalk. But not everyone supported the movement.
Repent our parish! Repent!
And there were some tense times, too.
Now, wait up!
Dr. Cedillo remembers the struggle he faced.
My first Pride, I had just become an elementary school teacher, and I was hiding behind the building and fearful, hiding from the news, and the fact that I could actually lose my job, because there was no job protection at that time.
Today, this monument stands in honor of those who marched in 1976. Two trees symbolize those that set the roots fighting for the LGBTQ plus movement in the past. The branches depict those continuing the fight today and into the future.
Carrying on the tradition so that people know what has actually happened in the past so we don't repeat it.
Because we all should have pride in who we are. Reporting from Albuquerque, Ira Morton, KOAT Action 7 News.
Yes, that's KOAT Action 7 News in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And much love and props to the LGBT community for, you know, standing up against bigotry and hate of all types. Yes, man. So moving right along. Oh, we'll have another caller before we move along. Okay, we'll have a caller. We'll put them through soon. Remember when you call in, say your first name, where you're calling from. 515-605-9802 is the number you call. Khalil from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Hello, Khalil. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you,
Good.
Khalil?
Good. Can you don't hear any distraction in the background, do you?
No. Mm-hmm. No.
All right. One of the things I was talking about, I found out is there's some people that are anti-LGBTQ. but they want to project and gaslight. They want to make it seem like they're the victims. I'm not talking about people like that, you know, because, you know, we got good and bad in every group, but a lot of the people that just don't want LGBTQ rights, they like to spin it. They like to say, oh, they're imposing their will upon them. But, you know, what they have to realize is no one said that they have to let them marry in their church. No one said that they have to be gay, you know. And if they're paying taxes, if they're paying taxes, they should be able to marry.
Yeah.
And
we don't tell us some of these same people, some of these same people who hit off against, you know, LGBTQ behind closed doors, a perfect example. About a decade ago, Senator Larry Craig from Idaho. He was a toe-tapping fool at the airport, and it was an undercover cop who arrested him for soliciting and cruising for gay sex. And this guy, I remember, ran on a platform of family values. He's married, have a very lovely wife, and had kids. You know, but you know, go on with what you're saying, Khalil. Let's give you an example of hypocrisy and the right.
Yeah, it's also like hypocrisy that people don't want health care, but they want to ban same-sex marriage. It's like, you know, not only that, but it's like they need to cut the, you know, the whole family values thing is a stupid line. It's pathetic to even use that, and you don't actually do anything to actually help family values. It's almost, I don't get them using the word family every time it's talking about banning same-sex marriage or banning abortion. I don't get how that helps a family.
It doesn't, but people like you catch on. There's others that do not catch on. You know, they listen to the rhetoric and think that it's, you know, the way it should be, and it's not. Everyone is equal, you know. So it's, as I said before, we just have to learn to be kinder and nicer and, you know, to people and accepting. And, you know, if you're having a bad day, just keep your mouth shut and go about your business. And, you know, you just don't always, you know, count to three before you react, something like that, you know. But we need more of that.
My thing is, I don't understand transgenderism, but it's not my place to say, you know, how you should live your life if you want to be transgender.
Yeah.
Or you have no choice. This is how you're born. Your brain functions a certain way. If you're born a male and think you're female and going to the transition surgery, good for you. Living your truth.
It's,
you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not up to me
as
a straight person to judge you and say, oh, no, God said this, God said that. And people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Bobo the Clown from Colorado, Lauren Boebert. These same people, like I said on top of the show, the love pushing family values and preaching about marriage and the nuclear family in America, what that is. This is not the 1940s and 50s. Get over it. You get what I'm saying? And these same women getting a divorce, these same women had illicit affairs, you know, well, Marjorie Taylor Greene did publicly. You know, with two different gym instructors and everything, while she was married, while she ran on a platform or family values. What sort of bullshit is that? The hypocrisy. You know, I mean, you know, do what makes you feel happy, but don't be a hypocrite. That's what I hate, and that's what people hit me out against. The hypocrisy, the Republicans and the evangelicals.
Sorry about that. I hate when the Republicans can't look through what look within. Especially when it comes to hypocrisy on guns versus the other parts of the Constitution, they can't look within. Every time an actor fires a gun in a movie, or they have someone licensed to have a gun to protect them, or they're firing a gun responsibly, they're a hypocrite. To them, they're a hypocrite. But once you call them out on not wanting the officers to have the same amount of firepower, all of a sudden we don't get it. And not only that, but they'll say if the police can have it, so can us as civilians. But if you're going to use that logic, use it in both parts. Don't just use it when it's convenient for you. Don't just call someone a hypocrite when it's convenient for you. And that's the issue I have with a lot of Republicans, the right-wing Republicans, is they don't want to see hypocrisy when it's actual hypocrisy. if they actually called someone a hypocrite that was a hypocrite, like Rosie O'Donnell, but they didn't see their own hypocrisy, it wouldn't bother me. It doesn't bother me as much, but when they call actors hypocrites and they call other people hypocrites for all this stuff with firearms, and some of these guns are not even real, but when it comes to actual hypocrisy, they don't see it. That's what bothers me.
Yep.
You know, if they can't look within when it's actual hypocrisy, to me, there's something wrong. Because every time you call them out of their hypocrisy on gun control, they don't want to admit it. It's always some type of excuse.
So what do you think about Pat Robertson passing away the day that Jack Smith announced the indictment of Donald Trump? Wasn't that, like, beautiful karma?
Yeah, him announcing Donald Trump wasn't good. I mean, like, I question, I'm not going to say too much about him because he's dead, but at the same time, it's like, if he's going to, I mean, if he's like that, I don't get his, I don't get who he is. I don't understand how, but then again, like, people like him and Jerry Falwell never really lifted a hand when it came to actual natural disasters. They just blamed the LGBTQ. But then the LGBTQ was the ones that actually did something during those situations. The people that were hating on them were not the ones that were out there on the line actually helping out.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
So it's like, I don't believe that they're actually good people.
No, they are not.
I mean, you're better than me. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lori.
I was going to say, wasn't he part of the 700 Club or something like that?
Yeah, he's a founder. He's a former Christian Broadcasting Network. Yes.
Was he? Was he? Okay, yeah. He was not a good man. He really wasn't. He was very, very rich, and he wasn't a nice person from what I've read. So, oh, well. See you. See ya. Won't be missed.
I know Pat Robertson, even though he said a lot of things over the years, the biggest ghastly thing and bastardly thing I've ever seen anybody do is when his wife of, you know, over 40 years got Alzheimer's, he divorced her. Who does that?
Yes. I remember that, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And then he also said in the past that, you know, if you're in a locker room and, you know, share towels, you can get AIDS from towels if, you know, one person is gay.
Yeah,
he
was crazy.
Everything is just,
he was way out there. He was
added to which, he tried to shame Michelle Obama when she was first lady, when she wore sleeveless skirt, sleeveless dress. But when asked about Melania Trump and her, you know, nude, she was in some lesbian B movie. He said that, you know, Melania Trump is so beautiful, it would turn gay men straight. I mean, Jesus.
He's not even worth talking about. He was not, not a good person. He was not a Christian. Mm-hmm. He was evil. Let's just put it that way and just done with him.
A wolf in sheep's clothing.
He's not worth talking about. Huh?
Yeah. I love them on the right. Wolf in sheep clothing. I love them on the right or that way.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yep.
And if you speak from a pulpit about how your parishioners should vote, in hell, your church, you should pay taxes. you know?
Yeah.
You get in all these collections and raising money through telephones and what have you. You're telling your parishioners to vote and pay goddamn taxes like everybody else.
Yep.
You know?
Absolutely.
There's a separation between religion and politics. Respect that. You know? Your church, America is not your church. This is our country. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion. If you want to be a Christian, if you want to be a Muslim, if you want to be an atheist, if you want to be Buddhist, whatever, have at it. But don't ram your Christianity down my throat. Fuck you. You know, go to hell, basically. So, Pat Robertson, I hope you burn in hell for eternity, you rat bastard.
Yeah.
I feel good getting that insurance.
Yeah, I didn't care. I'm sorry. Sounds evil, but
Mm-hmm.
You know.
took up space. Yeah. That's all I can say.
Yeah, yeah. So just
one last thing that I go ahead.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
No, you were going to say, I was going to talk about Jack Smith for a moment. I'm not sure what you were going to say.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Jack Smith might bring a second Trump indictment in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Fran and Martin, yeah. ABC News, 2 nights ago reported mm-hmm. that Judge Alien Cannon has been assigned. Mm-hmm. And there is a federal grand jury indictment in Miami of Donald Trump. Federal judges are typically assigned cases randomly. So
right.
Bizarrely, Judge Cannon agreed, and in December 2022, the conservative U.S. Court of Appeal, 11th Circuit, reversed the decision 2 months after she issued it. So now the 37-count indictment of Trump, with an additional count against his aide, co-defendant Walt Nassar, who spoke about earlier, mm-hmm. includes charges of violating the Espionage Act. If found guilty of violating the Espionage Act, is an automatic 20 years. Also mm-hmm. conspiracy to obstruct federal investigation, that's an additional 10 years plus $10,000 in fines, depending on how much obstruction was done. So these mm-hmm. are deeply serious crimes against the nation. There are also charges of false statements to the government. So you're under oath and you lied, and other people who come after you, who work closely with you, so this is what happened and contradict what you say. So there again, your goose is cooked, because lying and giving false statements on the oath is 5 years for each count. So if Judge Cannon does not recuse herself, but instead seeks to hold on an assignment and remain a trial judge, there are various possibilities. What could go wrong, really? According to Joyce Vance, the respected former U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Alabama, she's also the legal analyst for MSNBC. She tweeted Friday that Judge Cannon attempts to keep a case, quote, it is extremely likely that DOJ will challenge assignment in the 11th Circuit mm-hmm. Court and win. So Special Counsel mm-hmm. Jack Smith undoubtedly foresaw the possibility of Judge Cannon being randomly assigned to the case, yet he decided to indict the case in Florida, and for reasons that are understandable and, if not debatable, the Sixth Amendment entitles criminal defendants to a trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall not have been committed, or the crime shall have been committed. So the judicial report charges a violation of Espionage Act, the Hatch Act of 1917, to be exact. The conspiracy to obstruct the grand jury investigating occurred in Florida, even though there may well have been connections in D.C. and, you know, other places. So indicating that the Espionage Act and obstruction crimes in D.C. would have carried a significant risk, the Supreme Court is currently considering a case where the question is whether the government can even retry a case if, following a conviction, an appeals court decided the government chose the wrong district. So there's that. Aware of the possibility, Jack Smith may have well thought the risk too great in that obstruction of Espionage Act in Washington, where misconduct having taken place in Florida. So, you know, Trump unlawfully removed official documents from government office. You know, it's not his property to own, but yet still, right. he says that as president, he declassified it with his mind. You know, I'd love that Jedi power for real, Trump. The other is a conspiracy to defraud the United States. It may be brought when two or more individuals agree to deprive the government of its lawful functions and act furtherance of their scheme. So moving from the White House to Mar-a-Lago government documents that belong in the custody of National Archives or the intelligence agencies would qualify. So we're looking at years behind bars if and when found guilty. You know, espionage alone, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, the whole thing is that this is Jack Smith's backup plan. His backup plan is because he sees that there are two crimes that have been committed. The one was in D.C. because he unlawfully mm-hmm. removed official documents from a government office. And the other one is, you said it, the conspiracy to defraud the United States because he moved the top secret documents from D.C. to Florida, to Mar-a-Lago.
Mm-hmm.
They belong to the National Archives, and to the intelligence agencies. So if so a bad in Florida, I think this is his backup. So I guess that's the bottom line. So he still might file a second indictment because Florida does not mention the two crimes above. So he's got a backup. That made me happy.
And after the verdict, or not the verdict, but indictment unknown, the very next day on Truth Social and even public that Trump, you know, had fire rhetoric and inciting more violence like he did January 6th and everything. I mean, if anybody else did that, they would have been behind bars months ago in chains, ball and chain. Why is Trump so special? It just shows you that people like him of his stature, being a former president, have more rights than the regular guy, the regular Joe. And that's not right. He should be in prison away from Trump.
What upsets me is that he goes to these, you know, like he was at Georgia this weekend, and was it North Carolina or someplace like that? And, you know, he talked about being an innocent man, and, you know, he talked bad about Jack Smith and everybody else. He's got nothing but hatred, and he doesn't talk anything about his campaign, his vision for America. He just talks about himself and the trouble that he's in, and he tries to talk about how innocent he is. Well, the more he talks about how innocent he is, the more we know that he's guilty. So, but I mean, to be given that platform, it makes me crazy. I don't think that it's right. And I'm going to go back to that First Amendment. There has to be something that says he can't, you know, he needs to be muddled in a way. You can't talk about Jack Smith. You can't talk about the president. You can't do those things. It's inciting violence. And why don't they do something about that?
I mean, judging the case, he did say that Trump should not speak about the case or tweet about the case or put it on his stupid social media. But he still does it. So, again, why is this rat bastard, orange piece of shit, not behind bars awaiting trial?
Right.
How much chances is he going to get?
That's the way I feel. Because anyone else would be in prison right now just because he talks about, he incites violence. I'm sorry. There's no other way to put it. You know, if he talks bad about Jack Smith, about President Biden, about all of them. He talks bad about, you know, Kamala Harris, the vice president. He's just full of hate, and he pushes it out there. And, you know, these white supremacists and these Trumpers, these MAGA people, they just eat it up, you know, because they're looking for a fight. That's what they're looking for. They are looking for a fight.
So any final words, Khalil and Elaine, because we'll have under 7 minutes left to wrap up and everything. So, Elaine, final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Well, I want the media to keep playing the conversation that Trump had when he was talking about what should be done with people that don't take care of the documents, our secrets, and how they should be punished, and how they should go to jail, and how they should go to prison. He has made those comments over and over. And now that his hands are dirty, it's a witch hunt. So I want the media to keep, and I think he is going to try to say he didn't understand, because Pence keeps saying he didn't understand. Understand my ass. He made those comments quite a few times on how people should be punished when it comes to national security. He definitely understood. That's my comments tonight.
Khalil, any final thoughts and comments before we'll let you go?
My final thoughts are people need to really understand that, you know, if you're going to be for something that actually harms people, be for something that helps people. You know, if you're for if you're using the Bible to go against gay marriage, use it to go for health care. If you are against gun control for terminals, be against it for everybody. You know, like, mm-hmm. don't just you be against these things just because of convenience is you.
Yeah.
And that's what
yeah.
the right needs to start
exactly.
doing.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Kalia from the Commonwealth of Virginia, and Elaine from Michigan
Thanks
for calling in. We appreciate your participation.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. That was Khalil, and that was Elaine in Michigan, and Khalil is from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Longtime listeners call quite frequently. They're regulars, really. We love them to death.
Yeah.
And we love you to death for listening in, sharing all over social media, whether Twitter, whether wherever. You know, there are so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But our numbers are up. And big shout out and props to Sweden, Denmark, Greenland, Romania, France, Italy, where else? Indonesia, China, Australia, New Zealand, Brazil, Argentina, Ecuador, Jamaica, Wales, Scotland, Ireland, Republic of Ireland, and Northern Ireland. All those countries. Forgive me for forget your country. Germany.
Yeah.
You know, we have some students in Germany. I go to college.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to us when we're on. And Sundays and Mondays and even the all-time show. So we'll have those fans for years. So thank you for the patronage. And thank you for listening and sharing across social media and discussing it about, you know, about American politics in your classrooms and universities. You know, we appreciate the support. Well, thank you for listening. And the people across the United States and Canada, we appreciate you too. You know, and don't be shy. If you want to call in, call in. Whether you're right-wing, left-wing, communist, socialist, no political stripes, whatever issue that matters to you, talk, we listen. And, you know, we're all here to learn from each other and not judge and not the bullies. You know, we love each other. You know, the word is love. You know, and what Republicans are doing is not love. They claim to be Christian, but they're not. They're the spiritual.
No.
If Jesus come back now, Jesus would turn the table over on them and raise hell like he did in the temple. You know, so the better Republicans and Christians, don't be douchebags and assholes. Donald Trump is not a Christian. Mm-hmm. And Richard Nixon was a corrupt piece of shit. Reagan was an even bigger corrupt piece of shit, but Donald Trump hit the cake. There's no describing him. Shit is too good to describe Donald Trump. So anyway, thank you for listening. Same time, same place tomorrow, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time will start. This has been Kitchen Politics for Sunday, June 11th, 2023. Happy birthday to... what's her name from Maude? Barbeau. Adrienne Barbeau. She's 78 years old today. So happy birthday to her. She's still looking lovely. Wow. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, everyone. And this is Lori Ticka from Michigan. Everyone have a good night. And I'm looking forward to Tuesday. Bye night. Good night. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's get together.